Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the first two of three parables here in this chapter. The third parable we read during Lent, right before Easter. That's the parable of the prodigal son and his brother. All three of these parables deal with the lost. They're different examples of things being lost, things being found. But the thing that goes, the point that goes through all three of these parables is that when that thing is found, there is great rejoicing. There's a party. The shepherd, when he finds that lost sheep, he brings about and together all of his neighbors, and they have a party. "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." The woman, when she finds that 10th coin that was lost, after sweeping and searching and cleaning, she brings together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Now, it's a bit unfortunate that we have already read this parable of the prodigal son, because the main purpose, I think, of Jesus telling these three stories can be found most clearly in that third parable. The son, of course, he takes half the money and he goes off and squanders it, living wildly amongst the prostitutes and partying and having a good old time in a foreign country. He finds himself impoverished and homeless, so he comes back. Of course, the father, seeing the son, does not react the way that you would think he would, being upset and mad that the son has squandered all of this money. But he welcomes him back. He calls together the slaves. He says, "Quick, bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet." They get the calf, the fatted calf, the special one that they were saving. They kill it, and they have this celebration. Again, this big party for this lost son who is now found. Just as the other two, there is a party when the lost is found. Which would be great if that third paragraph ended there, but it does not. The real power of these parables come from that point. The elder son is in the field. Do you remember what he's doing in the field? He's grumbling. "My brother is good for nothing. I've been sticking around here helping dad do all the things. I never got a party, not even a goat." He goes, squanders everything, and comes back and gets this party, grumbling. Now, let me remind you of the words that I read before Jesus started telling these parables. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. The father seeks out the older brother, goes and finds him. What does the shepherd do? Seeks out the lost sheep. What does the woman do? Seeks the coin. This father seeks out the older brother. He didn't go seek out the younger brother out partying. It is this older brother who is lost, this grumbler. I wonder if these Pharisees and scribes are the ones that are actually lost. Now you're paying attention. Good job. He goes out to find that older brother and says, "Listen, all these years you've been looking, working for me. Yes, you never disobeyed. You never did any of these things. You have always enjoyed the gifts that I offer to you. But your brother was lost and now is found. So we celebrate and rejoice because he was dead and he's come back to life. He has been lost and now been found. This party, we celebrate because what was gone has come back. What was dead is back to life." Jesus says those who are lost, when God finds them, there is celebration. There's great rejoicing. Now those Pharisees, those scribes, that older brother, when they see such celebration for what was lost and been found, they start grumbling. "We've been here the whole time. We never got lost. We've been here in your presence the whole time." Anybody listening to these parables worry about the 99 sheep being left all alone? Right? Y'all are a bunch of people that never been lost before. "We've been here. What about those 9 coins in the pocketbook? Somebody's going to come and steal them while she's got her back turned, sweeping up underneath the couch." The 99, the 9 coins, the older brother, they are safe. They've been watched over. Those sheep have protection with their numbers. They're okay. They receive that protection and that comfort that comes with being in the flock. Those 9 coins are safe in the pocketbook. The older brother, as his father explains to him, has always enjoyed the comfort of being in his household. The ones that don't get lost are good. The father, the woman, the shepherd loves that which is lost just as much as those that are never lost. And so this is where I start trying to go from the scripture and putting together some thoughts. So let me just ask questions. Have you ever been lost? I don't know if I've ever been lost. I wander out in the woods sometimes, but it's usually in places that you can't really get lost in. I go to places, I wander far enough, I'm going to get to a river, and I know which way the river is to my car. I'm going to get to a road, I can follow a road. I've never really been in places to get lost. But I also watch TV. Have you ever heard of a guy named Bear Grylls? Do those Survivor shows? Yeah, Bear Grylls. So apparently one of the things that you're supposed to do if you actually do get lost in the wilderness is you stay put. If you're watching online, if somebody finds this online, I'm not like an expert, don't actually, "Well, Peter said to stay here." I think you're supposed to, but I've never actually been lost. But I think they say that you're supposed to stay put. Find yourself some shelter, get out of the elements, stay put. Those that are looking for you will find you. If you stay put, if you start wandering around, you'll end up getting missed or lost more, hurt more. You'll find yourself in a place where you cannot be found, where if you stay where you are, you'll be able to be found much more quickly. I think that's right. I hope you never have to find out. Okay. When you're lost, you stay put. Those that will find you will find you. And I wonder, thinking about that, reading these parables, I think that's also important. The shepherd does not wait for that lost sheep to come back to him. The woman does not wait for the coin to defy gravity and hop back up into the pocketbook. They go out and they search for and they find that lost sheep. The shepherd goes and searches. The woman turns her house upside down to find that coin. These are, of course, images of God who does not stop seeking us. And this is where the last week comes back to my mind. It really was a tough week. I was fortunate enough not to see that man get shot. I know that video was widely available online. And for many people, especially my age that are online, popped up for a lot of people. I was fortunate enough not to see it. But a lot of the country saw a man murdered right on their phones, right on their computers. There was a lot of feelings and emotions, understandably so. A lot of reactions from people trying to understand what they had just witnessed and how to feel. People were told how to react. Some circles, there were things like, well, this guy probably deserved it. Have you heard the things and the words that he said? He didn't care about people being killed by guns. In fact, he said it's an unfortunate reality of having guns. People are going to be killed by guns. He maybe deserved it. Maybe we should celebrate even. In other corners of the internet and other people were saying this is atrocious. This is terrible. They're coming for us. They've declared war. We have to be ready to defend ourselves. Let's be ready to go and inflict more pain, more violence. From every different direction, we were told how to feel, how to react, because we didn't know how to feel or how to react. That was Wednesday. Thursday was 9/11. Now, I have kind of a special connection to 9/11. September 11th used to be my birthday. Then on my 14th birthday, September 11th went from my birthday to 9/11. 24 years ago. 38, so you don't have to get distracted doing the math. 14 years old. You remember that day. I don't want to do like a bunch of emotional manipulation. But you remember that day. Very similar day of shock as a country. A day where the air was filled with fear and uncertainty. Even as a 14-year-old, we could feel that. We were on the way as a family to the prayer vigil. The dad, of course, was going to be leading at the church. And I think under the weight of all of these things, I said, I don't think I should open my presents tonight. And then my dad's reaction has really stuck with me, and it's, I think, been a very formative part of my life. He said, no, because that's what they want. We're not going to do what they want. So let me connect that conversation to Wednesday. I don't do what they want me to do. I don't react the way that I'm told I should react. Part of that is because of my faith. I follow a Jesus who has told me how to react. In all things, even being nailed on a cross, hanging on a cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. At his arrest, when Peter cut off the ear of one of the servants, what did he tell Peter to do to the sword? Put it away. Put that sword away. Jesus loved and forgave and was filled with mercy. So when I hear people telling me to laugh or to say the guy deserved it or to prepare to be attacked or to be filled with anger and rage and to send it back to those people, I remember my dad's words. No, that's what they want us to do. And we don't do what they would have us to do. We follow a Christ who preached love and mercy and forgiveness. And in the setting of these parables, the promise that those of us who are lost, and I think those reactions to Wednesday point out that we're lost, the promise that God searches for the lost. Now, I also mention what you're supposed to do when you get lost, because I'm not one of those preachers that says, we as a country is lost, we need to do X, Y, and Z. Because the sheep doesn't find its way back. We can't pray our way back from being lost. We cannot legislate our way back as a country from being lost. We wait for God to find us. We don't just sit around on our hands doing nothing. We live as Christ would have us to live, by being loving and forgiving and sharing that love and mercy and grace that has been so freely given to us with every single person. And in doing that, we become those beacons of light for others. We become those beacons of light for God to find us. We cannot yell and scream and shoot back and punch back our way from being lost. But God promises to never stop searching for us. God promises to turn the house upside down, to search in the wilderness over each rock and under, around each curve until we are found. The shepherd is searching. The old woman is cleaning. We will be found, but it's not through violence or hatred. It is through love and compassion and mercy. So let us be found. Amen.